Hi, and welcome back to our continuing study of Christian beliefs. 20 basic beliefs that every Christian should know. This is a work done by Wayne Grudem, and it's a summary of his systematic theology. And now we find ourselves in chapter 10, preparing to ask and answer the question, what is the atonement? The atonement. Now, this is one of those theological words that's not used a lot in our regular language and conversations, but it is a part of the foundational truths of God's Word and a core component of Christianity. We've got to understand the work that Jesus did in his life and in his death and in his ascension. So let's walk through this short but important chapter with Mr. Grudem. He opens up and he says, "For he will save his people from their sins," Matthew 1:21. The chapter opens with the proclamation of a promise that Jesus will take care of our sins if we are Christians. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We hear this from the opening of John's Gospel. Mr. Grudem says, "The work Jesus did in living and dying to earn our salvation is referred to as the atonement." So let's look at the cause of the atonement. Scripture is clear. Christ came to earn our salvation. That's John 3:16. God's justice is affirmed when Paul writes that God put forward Jesus as a propitiation. Again, a deep theological term that needs to be understood, a propitiation. He tells us that this was done to show us God's righteousness and his justice. The atonement, the propitiation, this is Jesus paying the price for sinners that could never pay the price on their own. In Jesus' life and death, we find a full expression of God's justice, which is sin being punished. We also see God's faithful love, where God gave his own son to take the punishment and pay the price for others. So in the atonement, you see a fullness of the love and character of God. We're also shown the necessity of the atonement as we take in the rest of Scripture. You see, it was not necessary that God save any people. In his love, instead, he chose to save some. You see, the necessity of the atonement is an expression of grace, because God did not need to save any. All could be put into the place of penalty and punishment as they paid for their own sins and wrongdoing. But by his grace and out of his love, he chose to save some by paying their price. Jesus knew there was no other way for God to save us than for him to die in our place. Other means, like the sacrifices offered for sins in the Old Testament, had no lasting value. That's Hebrews 10:4. Jesus, instead, by means of his own blood, that's Hebrews 9:12 and 26, Jesus, by means of his own blood, secured an eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Again, this is atonement. Now, let's take a look for a minute at the nature of this atonement. If Christ had only offered himself as a sacrifice, thereby earning for us forgiveness of sins, we would only have access to a partial salvation. You see, being sinless in terms of our history would take care of our past, but it would not cover our present and future. So to understand the atonement, it's to understand that there's more here than the erasing or the paying for our sins through what Christ sacrificed and did. It's even more. Let's press on. You see, in order to enter into fellowship with God, we would need to live a life of perfect obedience. So how do we find this forward living of righteous obedience? We can't do it. As fallen sinners and having a sin nature, we could not do that on our own. So if today somebody were to wipe out the cost and the penalty of all of your sins past, if you didn't end your life right here at that moment, you would never be covered for the sins that were going to happen in the short and long-term future that went forward. The atonement of Jesus Christ covers both the past and the future. Let's go on. You see, Christ had to live a life of perfect obedience to God so that the positive merits of his obedience could be counted for us as our righteousness. This is Romans 5:19, Philippians 3:9, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You see, Christ, through the sinless life he lived, became our righteousness. This is 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus also lived a life of suffering. This is not something that people take to heart normally in understanding the atonement, but it's true. Look at Isaiah 53:5, Matthew 4:1-11, Hebrews 12:3. You see, it was through these and other sufferings that Jesus learned obedience and, quote, became the source of eternal salvation to all who would obey him. That's Hebrews 5:8-9. You see, he did what only he could do and what we could never do for ourselves. Matthew 26:38, Jesus says, "My soul is sorrowful, even to death." The pain that he experienced was absolutely immense. We'll never know. We'll never even get close to appreciating the pain that he felt. The physical pain, by the way, was nothing compared to the spiritual pain. I often share with people that if you're blown away by the cross, you ought to get to know what happened with the cup. That is gruesome and as amazing a display of love and sacrifice as the cross physically is. It's what the cross represents spiritually that is absolutely mind-blowing. For you see, in the sacrifice of Christ, in the suffering of Christ, he didn't just take a physical torturous death. He drank the cup of God's wrath for all of those who would one day become children of God. And mind you, Jesus never sinned. So he did this on behalf of others. He did this for us. The sinless one took the physical and spiritual torture that we can't even imagine for the spiritual well-being of sinners. The sinless one suffered for the sinners. That's you and me. And know this, Jesus, scripture tells us, he hated sin. And yet Jesus voluntarily took upon himself all the sins of those who would one day be saved. Isaiah 53:12, 1 Peter 2:24, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Galatians 3:13. At the height of his suffering, he was very much alone. Even more difficult was the pain of bearing the full wrath of God upon himself. Oh, we should be in awe of our God. As Jesus bore the guilt of our sins, God unleashed all wrath and punishment for our sins upon his own Son. This is sacrificial love. This is our model. This is our inspiration. This is our commission, friend. Christ necessarily and willingly bore the full punishment for all our sin on the cross. Through his death, God's justice was met. Again, Hebrews 9:26. And what was the result? The result of the atonement? We'll close here for this chapter. Christ lived a perfect, sinless life and died a horrific sinner's death in order to, here it is, Matthew 1:21, to save his people from sin. He did all of this. The atonement was to save God's children from their sin. Oh, I pray that this few minutes of focusing in on the atonement has given you a better understanding, and I pray a deeper passion and commitment. I think of it this way, every time I pray, my prayers always begin with thank you. And it begins here with the grace, the miraculous sacrificial grace that comes through the atonement, the blood-bought atonement of Jesus the Christ. May you now, I pray, go forward with an understanding and a passion to share the truth and the love of the atonement of Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.